An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today, but just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, we've seen this show before. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you know what's happening at the institutions of higher learning where the kids are revealing, wow, what they have learned is a dog's breakfast. Maybe you've seen the videos and scratched your head wondering, what in the world? Maybe you've even delighted in a few of the videos, not because the kids are totally Romans 1, but maybe just maybe you enjoyed some of the videos of the kids getting toted off by the Georgia police at Emory University. I'm not saying I enjoyed it. I'm just saying you may have.
Oh, you're hurting me.
I'm just saying maybe that was delightful to you. But if you've been wondering, why are the kids doing this? What's motivating this? Once again, we need to discipline ourselves to look to the only source of explanation, the Bible. Now, I know that a lot of conservative pontificators can tell you some of the historical attitudes that predate what we're seeing at the university riots, because, well, that's pretty much what they are. But the Bible will reveal to us what is happening spiritually, which is the level that, of course, we want to go to. As Christians, that's the realm where we have something to say. If you'd please, open your Bible to Acts chapter 19. You will see a demonstration that is stunningly similar to the campus riots that we are witnessing in America. Did you see the clip of the young woman who was asked what she's doing out here? And her response was, what are we doing? Why are we protesting? And you go, wait, what? You don't even know why you're out here? Wait, this is total chaos and it's totally mindless. And it is a total rerun of Acts chapter 19. What a great narrative. Rollicking good fun for the Apostle Paul and his compatriots. And it's a historical narrative, so we don't want to build a huge amount of theology out of it, but that doesn't mean that we can't learn a lot from this history of an event that actually took place in Ephesus. Here we go, Acts chapter 19. When these things were accomplished, what things were accomplished? Well, people are getting saved. They were doing miracles in Ephesus. People are coming to the Lord in droves. When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. So he went into Macedonia, two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a time. And about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way. It's funny, we don't call ourselves the way anymore. That's what we were referred to in the first century. But somebody did take that name, the way. Wasn't that some sort of cult? I'm thinking some sort of Eastern cult. Look up the way, capital okay. W. Who was that? Somebody led some sort of a wayish-like cult. Verse 24. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana, a.k.a. Artemis. I'm reading now my MacArthur Study Bible footnote. By the way, going to be doing another MacArthur Bible study distribution soon. Worship of her centered at the great temple of Diana at Ephesus, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, was widespread throughout the Roman Empire. It's likely the riot described in this passage took place during the annual spring festival held in her honor at Ephesus. So Demetrius is making some bank off of Diana by silversmithing some idols and selling them in the marketplace. It seems like Demetrius was making an idol off of the pagan goddess. And he saw, uh-oh, our revenue stream is in jeopardy. If this way continues to widen, look out, we're going to be out of business. So this Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. So he called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, "Men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade." That's how he talked, apparently. "Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying they are not gods which are made with hands." That's what he said in Acts chapter 17. A little hint that Paul repeated his message as he evangelized throughout the Middle East. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. There's a ton inside of that. How sincere were they? Don't know. I suspect to a degree they were. Why? Because one of the things that we are seeing on the university campuses, which, by the way, we'll be talking about in more detail in a YouTube video that we are producing, Lickety Split, people need a cause. People need a flag. They need to have something bigger than themselves, to be a part of a group. And that is precisely what we are seeing on the university campuses today. They just want to be in. They want something bigger than themselves. I was reading an article. I wonder if I could find that. I will. I believe it was by Trevin Wax, talking about young people and their desire for something more demanding. They don't want rehashed, at best, mediocre entertainment. They don't want it. They want something higher, something loftier. Why? Because that's built into the DNA of humanity. We were born to worship. Unfortunately, our vision, it's a little bit blurry, and we tend to worship the things that we like to fashion into an image that is most pleasing to us and most manageable. What we're seeing on the university campuses are kids groping. A cause, a purpose, a flag of their own. Something to march for. Okay. Why are we out here anyway? What are we protesting? I just want to be a part of a group here. And that's what's going on, I think, in the heart of Demetrius. Our cause, our purpose. It's going to be just, what are we going to do then? And when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So the whole city, here it comes, was filled with confusion. Why are we out here protesting? Filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. And when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples said, no go. Some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him pleading that he would not venture into the theater because he was the rabble-rouser. He'd be killed. Some, therefore, cried one thing, some another. For the assembly was confused. This is a big group of people. This don't think podunk when you think first century Ephesus. They were as advanced a city as any in the Middle East. They were the cream of the cultural crop at that time. Some, therefore, cried one thing, some another. The assembly was confused. Most of them didn't know why they had come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. Uh-oh, we're going to get another peek into why we are seeing anti-Semitic riots on campuses. Because we're seeing an anti-Semitic riot right here in Acts chapter 19. Alexander motioned with his hand. Why did the Jewish people nab him? Well, we don't know for sure who Alexander was, but the goal is clear. Let's put somebody forward so that the Jewish people aren't the scapegoats in this. If people are getting agitated, that means we're probably going to take a beating. So let's throw this guy out there so that it can diffuse the situation or distract their wrath from us. He motioned with his hand and wanted to make his defense to the people. But when they found out that he was a Jew, all with one voice cried out for about 2 hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Have you wondered what's happening on the university campus? Acts chapter 19 answers it for us. Anti-Semitism, it has been alive and well for most of recorded history. God's chosen people, I think, smarter than the rest of us, able to succeed in a society where most don't, they flourish. And they've been hated, and they continue to be hated. And because of that hatred for God's chosen people, for whom there is still a plan, they will mindlessly march. They will become a part of big groupthink because they need a purpose. So I think there are, well, there's actually more. I think there's 10, which is what our YouTube video will be about. Two reasons you're seeing what you're seeing on campuses. Mindless groupthink, people wanting to be a part of a cause, and anti-Semitism. This is Wretched Radio. I'm so excited about this. That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Master's Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, our brothers and sisters don't have study Bibles. And we did a campaign to the Philippines. 10,000 Bibles were sent to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I think we're either going to do another 10 or 15,000 to countries whose names we better not speak. So be on the lookout for it. And if you'd like to start even supporting that now, that would rock. You can learn more about the amazing Masters Academy International. Don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Telling you, first-class ministry with generational impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today, and I have got some exciting news to share with you. Gospel Partners Media soon will look a bit different. Imagine this, a Christian version of the Daily Wire. 8 powerful voices are joining our ministry, and they will be creating compelling content that's going to speak truth into this darkened culture. I'm talking about certified biblical counselors like Pastor Brad Bigney. He'll be hosting a podcast on marriage and family. But that's not all. We also have incredible thinkers like Pastor Tim Challies, Dr. Adam Tyson, and you've already been listening to Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. This is where you come in, because we're right now currently in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign, which means every dollar you are able to give will be double. But look, this isn't just about money. It's about partnership. So will you join us in this new chapter? Just visit wretched.org/donate right now to get all of the details. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Proverbs is a collection of memorable sayings meant to encourage wisdom for godly living. Each proverb is to be understood on its own, and then in light of the rest of the book, and finally the whole Bible. When you desire wisdom, look to the book of Proverbs, which reminds us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do you smell that? It's the odor of critical race theory. This is Wretched Radio. If you've been pondering why the university campuses are imploding, because they are, it's coming from within. The kids foolishly marching to protest against Israel and for terrorists who would happily take off their heads in a heartbeat if they actually went to Gaza to join the effort to throw off the oppressor. And that is exactly why the kids are up in arms, because of critical race theory, which deems that if you identify somebody in a dynamic, in a relationship that has more power, more authority, they are the oppressor. They are automatically bad. They are terrible people because they have power and they use it for nefarious ends, their own selfish means. Therefore, we, the oppressed, have to cast off the hierarchy. And if we're going to be really up to date with our worldview and joining the cool people, then we're going to join those who are oppressed. And we are going to help to cast off the patriarchy. And in this instance, the patriarchy, the hierarchy, those who are in authority and oppressing are the Jewish people in the land of Israel. Critical race theory has been afoot on university campuses for a long time. They're all doing it. USC, by the way, they're going to cancel the graduation, you know, to punish the kids that were well behaved and got their diploma. Columbia University, Northwestern University, Georgetown, George Washington University, American University, Brandeis, which, by the way, one third of the body is Jewish. California State Polytechnic University, Harvard, Brown, MIT. Now, there might be a propensity for us to come against these institutions and denounce them entirely. I don't think that that's wise or honestly as thoughtful as it should be. I think having Ivy League schools are actually good for society. We're the best of the best. Uh-oh, there's the problem. Did I say best of the best? I mean, the people with the correct intersections go to learn about stuff that advances all of society. But that's precisely the problem. They've lost their agenda to do just that. Instead, it has been baked with critical race theory, progressivism, liberalism, communism, socialism, Marxism for decades. So I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. We are impacted by places like Harvard and MIT, Oxford. These places, they can make a really positive difference for all of us. So I don't want to burn down the institutions, but I do want to point out they aren't what they're supposed to be. And they certainly aren't what their founders intended them to be. Because many of them, not all, but many of them were originally built. You want to go back to the old institutions? Seminaries, Princeton, what was the point? Training Presbyterian pastors. Well, needless to say, they've strayed from that original charter. But today, they've also strayed from being an academic center that's just better than the rest. I'm okay with that. It's all of the liberalism that has infected them. And we have been seeing this now for decades. Let me take you to UCLA. The medical school's mandatory health equity class. Mandatory health equity? What's a health equity class? Teaches students that weight loss is a hopeless endeavor and that, this is so funny, in this article from threadreaderapp.com. Sorry. It beeps out the word obesity. And that obesity, can't say it. It's a slur. So these silly progressives have determined that a descriptor of somebody who weighs more than another, it's automatically a slur. Well, actually, it's automatically a scientific term. It's simply to describe something that medicine has concluded isn't ideal for the human frame. It's not the healthiest, and there's all kinds of problems associated with it. To the progressives, especially at UCLA, apparently, it is now a slur. So it's OB asterisk S-I-T-Y. It's used to exact violence on fat people. Mostly, by the way, black fat people. So this is a class that is now required. One required reading lists anti-capitalistic policies. What does that have to do with health? As a principle, this is just amazing, of disability justice. You know, I know we talked about this last week, but this semantic game, I'm telling you, we got to put the kibosh on this business. I was reading an article, it was quite lengthy, about people who regret having children. There was a poll that was done about a decade ago. 7% of parents said, you know what, if I could go back and do it again, I wouldn't have kids. This was in Time magazine, by the way. The article was intended to do what? Deconstruct having children. See, not everybody. See, and look at how hard it is and how terrible it is. And so it was once again trying to deconstruct what is typical for human beings and quite natural because we have the procreative ability. And they were quoting different people who were struggling with the kids. And they quoted a dad. And I'll do my best to paraphrase. He said something like, you know, the kids with their constant demands, my body is held hostage by their needs. Wonder if he was the same kid at the Emory University protest. Oh, you're hurting me. My body is being held hostage. Well, then kids must be horrible because they're kidnappers, apparently. And they're terrorists, those little kids. And what's the conclusion? Hey, don't judge if we don't want to have kids, or don't judge the parents who don't even like their own children. Well, I'm sorry. I would prefer to reserve that right. That isn't natural. That's not normal. And those parents, they don't need to be paraded through the streets as being somehow morally superior or even on the same level as everybody else when it comes to their attitude toward children. They need help. That's what they actually need, this language business. His body is held hostage. So therapeutic, so me-centered. Has any parent not said, wow, this is a lot of work? Yeah.
My body's held hostage.
One required reading lists anti-capitalist politics as a principle of disability justice and attacks the evils of ableist. Now, this is, if you don't think a body part belongs on you, that's ableism. Ableist, I can't even pronounce this word, heteropatriarchal capitalism. Oh, it's ableist heteropatriarchal capitalism. It must be legitimate because I can hardly even say it. It must be true. Others attack growth-centered economic theories and call for moving beyond capitalism for our health. And then they list inside of this curriculum, which is creepy looking, honestly, here are their values. One, radical humility. In other words, don't think you're right. Don't claim the higher moral ground. Have some humility. It's to prepare the way so that they can be made morally superior. Imagination. Got to have imagination these days. In other words, don't accept reality. Community. Why would community be a value of this ridiculous curriculum? Because groupthink wins. Not individual. Not truth. What do we get together to conclude? And if we're the ones in power, then we can undermine those who are in power, claiming that they shouldn't be in power. Liberatory solidarity. Affirm me. Please, affirm me. And intersectionality. Now you say, what does that actually have to do with Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khomeini? Well, I'm glad you asked. He's texting, which is weird, about the Hamas riots that we are seeing on the campuses because people are claiming they're the leaders of the future. This comes at a time, he texted, when people flew Hezbollah's flag in a street in the U.S. I'm glad that these kids are being arrested. I think they should be detained to see if they're guilty of sedition, treason. Not do they belong at a university campus. Do they belong here at all? But I digress. The people of the world are supporting the resistance front because they are resisting and because they are against oppression. Now, the irony, of course, is palpable because the Islamic Republic of Iran is the most oppressive people group perhaps on the planet. Nevertheless, even this guy, even Iran's supreme leader, understands critical race theory. It works. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.